Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So good news. As of today, every adult in the U.S., every adult now eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine. That's right. The Biden administration has pushed forth. We're past, what, 100 million, past 200 million in the first 100 days. Now everyone eligible, and I think that's a really good thing. One thing I'm a little concerned about, I'm concerned about the whole team sport mentality of, I got mine, my team's, we got the vaccine, I don't care which one it is, going to get us to the other side. That is a good thing. Because we've got to break this whole dependence on corporate America, and this, it's bugging me. I'm here to share some thoughts on the stranglehold that Big Pharma has on our vaccines. I've asked Max Moran to come talk with us. Max is the research director for the personnel team at the Revolving Door Project, revolvingdoorproject.org, the website. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
So, good news. I mean, everybody now eligible. Did you get your vaccine yet?
I did indeed. I got one of the very last Johnson & Johnsons before they put the temporary hold on it. So I just squeaked in under the radar last weekend.
I'm going to get my second one here in a couple of weeks, and then I get to the other side of it. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe we can get back to some bit of normalcy on the other side. But as of this far, so far, I'm pretty happy with where things are. I did want to get your thoughts, though, because we've given so much money to these big companies. They're raking in profits, and globally raking in profits. There should be something done.
Yes. You hit on a lot of really important themes there in a very small amount of time. So first of all, it's true that, like you said, vaccines in the U.S. are now available to every adult, which is an enormous, enormous achievement, especially when you think about where we were back in January. But the fact is that normalcy for the rest of the world, especially for the global south, for countries that are still developing, is still right now a long way away for basically completely artificial reasons. So right now, basically, if nothing changes, the global south countries won't be able to get fully vaccinated until 2023 at the earliest. That is 2 years from now. And also, those numbers are assuming that COVID-19 doesn't mutate in that time since then, which we know, of course, this is a virus that changes very, very quickly. So there's a very good chance that it would actually, in that span of time, mutate into something that could overwhelm our current vaccines. Because basically, the more people are unvaccinated right now, the more opportunities COVID has to infect people, and which gives them more opportunities to mutate. And again, a lot of this is entirely rectifiable, entirely fixable right now if Joe Biden and a lot of other national leaders are just willing to stand up to Big Pharma. Because here's the issue, is that in every region of the world right now, there are factories that are just sitting there which are capable of producing the vaccines which people in America are getting right now, the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer, and so on, the Moderna. You have factories in every part of the world that are capable of producing these things. They're not able to just because they don't have the legal rights to do so. We've basically given these pharma companies exclusive monopoly rights over all the different parts of the production process for building a vaccine, even though those vaccines were developed thanks to taxpayer dollars. Like the mRNA technology that enables the vaccines to exist, entirely funded by taxpayer dollars. So there's no reason that we've just given this over to a private corporation, and now it poses a very real, very dangerous threat.
I mean, this is one of those moments that you go back to, the polio vaccine. How much would have Jonas Salk have put in his pocket if he could have held the country hostage like this?
Exactly. You also look at for instance, the flu vaccine, which obviously, is produced every year, and it's produced through a global cooperation, a global consortium, where people identify, what strains of the flu they think are going to be the ones that are coming around, and people openly share information, and as a result, you can get a flu vaccine every year. It's completely absurd that we have defaulted to this sort of corporate, this very profit-driven way of looking at things, where it's all about concealing your information and concealing how to even produce a vaccine once you have one, when we know that, again, that poses an enormous threat to literally everyone on Earth, even if you're like some psychopath who doesn't care if people in poorer countries can't get the vaccine. Like, you know, you should care, because if people in poorer countries can't get the vaccine, that means the vaccine might mutate, that means the virus, that is, rather, might mutate, and that could then pose a threat to you. And again, this is for entirely rectifiable, entirely fixable. We just have to give up get these companies to give up the rights, the patent rights, the trademarks, the copyrights, in order to produce the vaccine more worldwide and just start sharing information. And, like, you know, that seems like it's the kind of thing which we should all want. We should want people to be able to coordinate and work together towards saving lives, quite literally. And it just requires being able to confront corporate power.
Isn't this something we can just take? I mean, we paid for it after all. No, I mean, it was our tax dollars. Because here's the problem I have then. You know, they hold on to this. They make a lot of profit for their shareholders and their CEOs. But this thing mutates and we're shut down for another year or two. And then I got to go back and get another vaccine. This seems like it could be really expensive.
Exactly. It is absurdly more expensive for the entire world in the long run. If we privilege these property rights, these IP rights over public health, it is insane how much more that is going to cost everyone. Now, if you're big pharma, you hear that and you say, oh, that's fantastic, because that all of that extra money is going to be going into your pocket. Because, again, for completely artificial reasons, if we don't do anything about it, big pharma companies now hold the exclusive rights in order to manufacture these vaccines. But if you're literally anyone else on Earth, then you should immediately want to be lifting these IP rights, to be sharing this information, so that we can hopefully someday actually beat this thing and be able to really move on from this like, you know, horrific global tragedy. As far as ways that the U.S. can actually do something about this, for one thing, there's a waiver called the TRIPS waiver at the World Trade Organization right now, which would do all of this, which would allow which would lift these IP restrictions, basically. And there's also a part of the law called march-in rights, which says, like you said, you know, look, we paid for the damn things. We invented the damn things thanks to our tax dollars. We should be able to, like, have some control over who actually gets this technology that we developed and then some private company patented.
Yep.
Those are the two elements. There's also something called Section 1498. But really what this all gets back to is just that, again, technology which saves lives and technologies which, again, we developed thanks to our tax dollars should really be in the public domain and in the public interest.
It shouldn't just stop here at this vaccine, because the reality is, you know, the argument is always made that they should be able to benefit because they took the risk. They made the investment to develop this. It's, you know, it's their research and development. But, you know, there was no risk in going after this vaccine.
Yep.
There was tons of capital to go, everybody go and do. And I would argue that most drugs that are manufactured and researched, it comes with taxpayer, a ton of taxpayer money, plus a ton of research that comes out of our universities.
Yep, you are entirely factually correct there. Especially for vaccines, like big pharma basically never puts up the risk, puts up the money in order to produce a vaccine. Because, I mean, you know, this tells you a lot about sort of the cynicism of the pharmaceutical industry, is that a vaccine is something you only have to buy once. Why would, big pharma want to be putting a lot of money into the research and development for something where you take it one time and then you never need it again, because then you are, like, you're immune to that virus? Part of, again, what's so exciting from big pharma's perspective about COVID-19 is that it mutates so fast, which means that, even though you treat it through vaccines, theoretically, world populations are going to need more and more boosters, more and more re-upping, and so on. And that means that you get more and more bites at the apple. If you're the pharmaceutical company, you get people to have to pay you over and over and over again. But again, like, you know, the actual research that went into the actual science and discovery that went into producing this vaccine, entirely publicly funded. mRNA technology was created exclusively basically exclusively thanks to government grants. All that happened was just that a few companies were able to swoop in, get the patent rights to applying this technology toward COVID-19, and now we're stuck in this horrible situation.
It's crazy to me. But again, it's not surprising because it's what we do. It's what we allow to happen. And there are going to be those who are like, well, you know, we developed it. It's ours. We should keep it. We should hoard it for ourselves because we've become a very selfish nation. It's all about me. And without realizing that if we don't reach out to other countries and we don't help the poorer and developing countries, this thing could boomerang back and end up, I would argue, worse off. And we could still end up dead from this.
Exactly. You know, look, it's really pretty simple. If you want to beat COVID-19 anywhere in the world, you really do have to beat it everywhere in the world. Because, again, this thing mutates so fast. If you give it any opportunity to have a host, it is going to find some way to overwhelm your current vaccine. And, again, from Big Pharma's perspective, that's great. That means people need to get more boosters, which means they need to come in more, and you get more bites at the apple, more opportunities to profit. But, again, if you want the pandemic to really truly be over within, like, you know, this year, hopefully, here in the United States, then you need the pandemic to be over everywhere in the world.
Right.
And really, the primary thing that is standing in the way of that happening is just these completely artificial patent rights, these completely man-made intellectual property rights. Just get past that initial hurdle, and the rest of it is downhill.
Yeah, but you know, isn't that the basis of our national identity? It is all about property rights. If you know, if some of our founding fathers had their rights, it wouldn't have been the pursuit of happiness. It'd have been the pursuit of property, and we wouldn't be having these problems because property's mine.
Well, that's what you would think is the basis of our national identity if you only listen to really bad Republican historians. You know, I think that there are a lot of bases of American identity, and one of the virtues of this country, one of the things that has become a true virtue of this country is not only property, but also care for your fellow man, but also a belief in democracy, a belief in equality, a belief in, you know, trying to make the world a better place than it was when you came into it. So I would, like, you know, urge you, if anyone, I don't think that any of your listeners most certainly would put property rights first and foremost as what makes us American. Well, I would say, you know, look, what makes us American is a fluid thing, and we can choose to prioritize our better angels, and this is a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, good point. Or we could just take all of the doses that the former guy's supporters aren't going to take and just give them away.
That is true. That is a thing that we can do. You know, like, if we just get past our selfishness, our prioritization of ourselves, and also if we just, like, expand our vision of what it means to actually, like, you know, care for our fellow man and to actually, you know, want to get past this damn pandemic, then a lot of policy options, a lot of possibilities become available. It just becomes a matter of how we're going to go about doing that.
Yeah, if you can get a vaccine for that, I'd love you, to figure that one out.
If there was only a way to vaccinate against selfishness, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, and hatred and racism and misogyny and all the other things that are ripping our country apart.
Damn right.
Maybe Pfizer can get to work on that one. So I guess the last line of questioning then is, you know, what do we do? I mean, I think most rational, thoughtful people would go, we should be, if we have the means to do this, if there's an ability to create this stuff as cheaply as possible, to get it in as many arms as willing to do it, we should be doing that for the good of ourselves. If we have to be radically self-interested for ourselves, but for the good of the planet, what do we do?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, first and foremost, what needs to happen is that the United States needs to support, this is a little technical, but the U.S. needs to support a waiver for essentially a thing called TRIPS. TRIPS is the main trade agreement related to intellectual property. TRIPS more or less says that the U.S.'s extremely intense IP regime applies around the world. But in theory, the world can waive TRIPS requirements for products, including COVID-19 vaccines. This has never been done before because the way that TRIPS is written, literally every member nation, every nation that's signed on to this trade agreement has to support the waiver for the waiver to happen. It's deliberately made as difficult as possible to actually do this. And right now the U.S. and a bunch of other Global North countries like the U.K. and so on are basically sort of stonewalling this effort that most of the rest of the world supports to waive these TRIPS requirements. So first and foremost, you got to tell Biden, you've got to tell your Congress members and everyone to support waiving the TRIPS requirement. Again, Biden just has to give the word from on high, and you can do that. A lot of senators, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, a lot of progressives have been very vocal in pushing on this in recent weeks. But that's the first and foremost, most important thing is we've got to get that TRIPS waiver.
And do we have a place of action for that?
Public Citizen has been leading a lot of really excellent work. Lori Wallach over there has been doing a lot on this front. We, Revolving Door Project, wrote a letter to several members of the Biden administration on that topic. Those would be Jeff Zients and Gina Raimondo, who we have reason to believe, at least, have been more on the big pharma end of things, especially given their personal histories. But I would definitely recommend looking up Public Citizen's work, Global Trade Watch's work on this topic. Also, Doctors Without Borders has been leading a lot of excellent work on this, yeah. Or Médecins Sans Frontières, as they're known in French.
Good stuff.
Definitely check out them and check out their work. They can direct you about how to take action.
We will certainly get some links out. Lori Wallach's fantastic. She does great work over there at Public Citizen. But Max,
absolutely.
I appreciate you taking some time for us, filling us in on this, and hopefully we can get some movement. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
As always, Max Moran, Research Director there of the Personnel Team, the Revolving Door Project. Make sure you check out their website, therevolvingdoorproject.org. Got it wrong at the beginning. It's therevolvingdoorproject.org. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.